Welcome to Tea with Dr. J, the book edition. I'm Dr. Janet Johnson. 2020. Wow, it was quite a year, wasn't it? As tough as this year was, I managed to finish my book, Political Rhetoric, Social Media, and American Presidential Campaigns. It's out now. At the end of the broadcast, I'll let you know the coupon code for 30% off. I had big plans for when this book came out. I wanted to have a release party with friends who understood when I canceled plans. Well, that didn't happen due to the pandemic. And being friends with a writer isn't easy. When the writing mood strikes and when it doesn't, you have to put your butt in your chair, hands on the keyboard, and open up that page. As a writer, I have found you have to release your thoughts into words and leave them all on the page. You will stare at those words, move those words, delete those words, add more words. Many days, if I just deleted a comma, it was a win. Timing is everything. I believe I was meant to release this book into the world after the 2020 election. I talk about the evolution of media and how it has changed political rhetoric. How did we get here is the question I explore. I might not completely answer that question for you, but I left you to ponder that question with a bit more knowledge and tools to help you understand the history of our presidential campaign rhetoric compared to the political rhetoric of today. So sit back with a cup of tea and let's talk about my book. I want to read you part of my introduction. I wanted to start my book by sharing my experience that not every American citizen gets to experience, and why I wrote this book. I didn't realize I had this passion until I started studying media and rhetoric related to presidential campaigns in my PhD program. When I began looking at media in this way, it clicked, because our lives are tied to the media stories we consume. Here's a little snippet of my introduction. I experienced firsthand social media's impact on the presidency. In both 2014 and 2015, the White House selected a few social media leaders to live tweet the State of the Union at the White House. I was honored to be invited to the White House to tweet and honored that the experience allowed me to be part of social media history. President Barack Obama's administration found it essential to use social media to its advantage, and America noticed the change in the flow of information from the White House to their house. Later, I was lucky enough to be invited on a private exclusive tour of the West Wing. President Obama was the first president to allow tours of the West Wing. After the president retired to the residence to spend time with his family, White House staffers could book tours for family and friends. My host told me President Obama had wanted people to experience the White House and felt the West Wing tour was notable for White House staffers to share the vital work they did for Americans daily. I stood in the doorway of the Oval Office in awe. I could see President Obama's personal touches to the office. That day, the Oval Office looked very comfortable. Fresh flowers, elegant wallpaper, regal curtains, and superb artwork. Behind the Resolute desk, I noticed personal pictures. One was a black and white photo of the president and the first lady. I looked over to the center of the room and saw the hue of the red apples sitting on the coffee table between the couches. The Oval Office is the best lit room in America. It is not as big as you would expect and is cozy. At that moment, I felt the significance of that room. No matter what your political beliefs may be, the Oval Office is an influential room, keeper of our nation's most important decisions and our nation's worries. I stood there, imagining presidents of the past standing in that office, making the most crucial decisions that have affected each of us at some point in history. I know others have had many more experiences in that office, more significant than mine. I stared in the doorway, my toes touching the inside of the office so I could say, I stepped in. Nevertheless, I, who just loved to tweet about social media, rhetoric, journalism, and politics, was able to stand in the doorway of history. Because of Twitter, I was a White House guest. When people ask me what they gain by using social media, I say, maybe one day you will be invited to the White House. I will not forget that experience anytime soon. The feeling I had at that moment in the White House fed my passion for journalism, politics, and the power of digital media. Now let me take you through the chapters to pique your interest. Chapter 1 looks back on the history of media in presidential campaigns and how new media shaped presidential campaign rhetoric. Now Chapter 2 is a brief look at political media. We need to trace the beginnings of political media to understand today's political media landscape. So I start out with two foundational chapters. Chapter 3 looks at how Barack Obama's campaign set the standard for digital campaigning. The internet was established before 2008, but was still new. Past campaigns didn't fully embrace digital campaigning as a serious option. But Obama's campaign team knew they had to use Web 2.0 to gain momentum and build Obama's credibility. The 2008 campaign knew change was happening online and offline. Chapter 4 examines Mitt Romney's Twitter game. He may have embraced the rhetorical situation, but he still did not have the White House's backdrop as Obama did to win. Obama's digital media campaign was more substantial and more established than Romney's. As much as Romney used Twitter to create a steady message, Obama's campaign created a more powerful story with a more seasoned grasp of the rhetorical situation. Now, Chapter 5 explores the story of the 2016 campaign. An election is a ritual. Every campaign season tells a story. Each candidate introduces their storyline at their national convention. The media helps establish this story and creates their own storylines for candidates. Now we get to take part in that story. The American citizen is now a participant in that storytelling process. Chapter 6, I explore Hillary Clinton's credibility through the years. Yes, you have heard the stories before, but my argument in this chapter wants you to question media and how it may have been the result of her downfall. Hillary allowed the media to control her story, which turned her into a cyborg, where she is not perceived as a human, but a fictitious online character that digital citizens created themselves. Chapter 7 examines Donald Trump's rhetorical. Don't you love the word rhetorical? A term rhetorician Wayne Booth coined. It says it all and defines Trump's presidential rhetoric he used during his campaign and presidency. Just read the chapter and I guarantee you will have an aha moment. I did when I wrote the chapter. And Chapter 8, I leave you with a call to action. Every digital citizen has to become more vigilant online to believe in journalism, to bring back the truth. We all must demand more of our leaders and their words. Words matter. Truth matters. The last 4 years have been a warning. As we transition to a new president, to a new, more uniting and more positive and somewhat folksy rhetorical style, we still must remember that what we see online might not be entirely accurate. You won't see the Trump tweets disappear unless you unfollow him. You won't see a segment of social media users, or maybe we call them abusers, sabotaging the Biden-Harris administration's message of unity. As digital citizens, we all must become fact checkers. Media literacy should be a vital initiative to teach American citizens to become more active online participants than passive online consumers. Each one of us with a handheld device could make us accidental journalists. Journalists are competing with us. Journalism's job is not to be first, but to dig deep, to give us the truth, and to fight for the truth. I put this quote in my book from Neil Postman and Steve Powers, who warned us about consuming television news. Quote, "We do not have time to reflect on any piece of news, and we are rarely helped. We become information junkies, addicted to news, demanding, even requiring more and more of it, but without any notion of what to do with it." End quote. That quote was for television news and rings more true today as digital media grows. We have become information junkies. We are addicted to the news. We are addicted to the drama. It's time we break the addiction. Read my book. Learn that words matter. Learn the why behind the tweets. I wrote this book from the standpoint of an informed observer. I want you to become one too. Thank you for listening. You can purchase my book for 30% off at roman.com using the coupon code LEX30AUTH21. Don't worry, you can find the code on the Tea with Dr. J Facebook page and in the description of this show. Have a healthy 2021, wear a mask, and remember, we are all in this together.